The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection. Chapter 23, The Supramental Instruments, Thought Process. Bottom of page 845. The result of this wholeness is that there is no division or incompatibility between the free essential ideation of the supermind corresponding to the mind's pure ideation. Free, disinterested, illimitable, and its creative, pragmatic ideation purposeful and determinative. The infinity of being results naturally in a freedom of the harmonies of becoming. The supermind perceives always action as a manifestation and expression of the self and creation as a revelation of the infinite. All its creative and pragmatic thought is an instrument of the self's becoming, a power of illumination for that purpose, an intermediary between the eternal identity and infinite novelty and variety of illimitable being and its self-expression in the worlds and life. It is this that the supermind constantly sees and embodies, and while its ideative vision and thought interpret to it the illimitable unity and variety of the infinite, which it is by a perpetual identity and in which it lives in all its power of being and becoming. There is constantly, too, a special creative thought associated with an action of the infinite will, tapas, power of being, which determines what it shall present, manifest, or create out of the infinite in the course of time, what it shall make, here and now, or in any range of time or world, of the perpetual becoming of the self in the universe. The supermind is not limited by this pragmatic movement and does not take the partial motion or the entire stream of what it so becomes and creates in its thought and life for the whole truth of itself or of the infinite. It does not live only in what it is and thinks and does selectively in the present or on one plane only of being. It does not feed its existence only on the present or the continual succession of moments to whose beats we give that name. It does not see itself only as a movement of time or of the consciousness in time or as a creature of the perpetual becoming. It is aware of a timeless being beyond manifestation and of which all is a manifestation. It is aware of what is eternal even in time. It is aware of many planes of existence. It is aware of past truth of manifestation and of much truth of being yet to be manifested in the future, but already existing in the self-view of the eternal. It does not mistake the pragmatic reality, which is the truth of action and mutation, for the soul truth, but sees it as a constant realization of that which is eternally real. It knows that creation, whether on the plane of matter, or of life, or of mind, or of supermind, is and can be only a self-determined presentation of eternal truth, a revelation of the eternal, and it is intimately aware of the pre-existence of the truth of all things in the eternal. This seeing conditions all its pragmatic thought and its resultant action. The maker in it is a selective power of the seer and thinker, the self-builder a power of the self-seer, the self-expressing soul a power of the infinite spirit. It creates freely, and all the more surely and decisively for that freedom, out of the infinite self and spirit. It is, therefore, not prisoned in its special becoming or shut up in its round or its course of action. It is open, in a way and a degree to which the mind cannot attain. To the truth of other harmonies of creative becoming, even while in its own, it puts forth a decisive will and thought and action. When it is engaged in action that is of the nature of a struggle, the replacing of past or other thought and form, and becoming by that which it is appointed to manifest, it knows the truth of what it displaces and fulfills, even in displacing as well as the truth of what it substitutes. It is not bound by its manifesting, selecting, pragmatic, conscious action, but it has at the same time all the joy of a specially creative thought and selective precision of action, the ananda of the truth of the forms and movements equally of its own and of others' becoming. All its thought and will of life and action and creation, rich, manifold, focusing the truth of many planes, is liberated and illumined with the illimitable truth of the eternal. This creative or pragmatic movement of the supermental thought and consciousness brings with it an action which corresponds to that of the habitual or mechanical mentality, but is yet of a very different character. The thing that is created is the self-determination of a harmony, and all harmony proceeds upon seen or given lines and carries with it a constant pulsation and rhythmic recurrence. The supramental thought, organizing the harmony of manifested existence of the supramental being, founds it on eternal principles, casts it upon the right lines of the truth that is to be manifested, keeps sounding as characteristic notes the recurrence of the constant elements in the experience and the action which are necessary to constitute the harmony. There is an order of the thought, a cycle of the will, a stability in the motion. At the same time, its freedom prevents it from being shut up by the recurrence into a groove of habitual action, turning always mechanically round a limited stock of thinking. It does not, like the habitual mind, refer and assimilate all new thought and experience to a fixed customary mold of thinking, taking that for its basis. Its basis, that to which all is referred, is above. Upari buddhne, in the largeness of the self, in the supreme foundation of the supramental truth, buddhme ritasya. Its order of thought, its cycle of will, its stable movement of action does not crystallize into a mechanism or convention, but is always alive with the spirit, does not live by exclusiveness or hostility to other coexistent or possible order and cycle, but absorbs sustenance from all that it contacts and assimilates it to its own principle. The spiritual assimilation is practicable because all is referred to the largeness of the self and its free vision above. The order of the supramental thought and will is constantly receiving new light and power from above, and has no difficulty in accepting it into its movement. It is, as is proper to an order of the infinite, even in its stability of motion, indescribably supple and plastic, capable of perceiving and rendering the relation of all things to each other in the one, capable of expressing always more and more of the infinite, at its fullest of expressing in its own way all that is actually expressible of the infinite. Thus, There is no discord, disparity, or difficulty of adjustment in the complex motion of the supramental jhanana, but a simplicity in the complexity, an assured ease in a many-sided abundance that comes from the spontaneous sureness and totality of the self-knowledge of the spirit. Obstacle, inner struggle, disparity, difficulty, discord of parts and movements continues in the transformation of mind to supermind only so long as the action, influence, or pressure of the mind insisting on its own methods of construction continues, or its process of building knowledge or thought and will of action on the foundation of a primal ignorance resists the opposite process of supermind, organizing all as a luminous manifestation out of the self and its inherent and eternal self-knowledge. It is thus that the supermind, acting as a representative, interpretative, revealingly imperative power of the spirit's knowledge by identity, turning the light of the infinite consciousness freely and illimitably into substance and form of real idea, creating out of power of conscious being and power of real idea, stabilizing a movement which obeys its own law, but is still a supple and plastic movement of the infinite, uses its thought and knowledge and a will identical in substance and light with the knowledge to organize in each supramental being his own right manifestation of the one self and spirit. The action of the supramental jhanana, so constituted evidently, surpasses the action of the mental reason. And we have to see what replaces the reason in the supramental transformation. The thinking mind of man finds its most clear and characteristic satisfaction and its most precise and effective principle of organization in the reasoning and logical intelligence. It is true that man is not and cannot be wholly governed either in his thought or his action by the reason alone. His mentality is inextricably subjected to a joint, mixed, and intricate action of the reasoning intelligence with two other powers, an intuition, actually only half luminous in the human mentality, operating behind the more visible action of the reason, or veiled and altered in the action of the normal intelligence, and the life mind of sensation, instinct, impulse, which is in its own nature a sort of obscure, involved intuition, and which supplies the intelligence from below with its first materials and data. And each of these other powers is, in its own kind, an intimate action of the spirit, operating in mind and life, and has a more direct and spontaneous character and immediate power for perception and action than the reasoning intelligence. But yet, neither of these powers is capable of organizing for man his mental existence. His life mind, its instincts, its impulses, is not and cannot be self-sufficient and predominant as it is in the lower creation. It has been seized upon by the intelligence and profoundly altered by it, even where the development of the intelligence is imperfect and itself most insistent in its prominence. It has lost most of its intuitive character, is indeed now infinitely richer as a supplier of materials and data, but no longer quite itself or at ease in its action because half rationalized, dependent at least on some infused element, however vague, of reasoning or intelligent activity, and incapable of acting to good purpose without the aid of the intelligence. Its roots and place of perfection are in the subconscious from which it emerges. And man's business is to increase in the sense of a more and more consistent knowledge and action. Man, reverting to a governance of his being by the life mind, would become either irrational and erratic or dull and imbecile, and would lose the essential character of manhood. The intuition, on the other hand, has at its roots and its place of perfection in the supermental, which is now to us the superconscient. And in mind, it has no pure and no organized action, but is immediately mixed with the action of the reasoning intelligence, is not quite itself, but limited, fragmentary, diluted, and impure, and depends for the ordered use and organization of its suggestions on the aid of the logical reason. The human mind is never quite sure of its intuitions until they have been viewed and confirmed by the judgment of the rational intelligence. It is there that it feels most well-founded and secure. Man, surmounting reason to organize his thought and life by the intuitive mind, would be already surpassing his characteristic humanity and on the way to the development of supermanhood. This can only be done above, for to attempt it below is only to achieve another kind of imperfection. There, the mental reason is a necessary factor. The reasoning intelligence is an intermediate agent between the life mind and the yet undeveloped supramental intuition. Its business is that of an intermediary, on the one side to enlighten the life mind, to make it conscient and govern and regulate as much as may be its action until nature is ready to evolve the supramental energy, which will take hold of life and illumine and perfect all its movements by converting its obscurely intuitive motions of desire, emotion, sensation, and action into a spiritually and luminously spontaneous life manifestation of the self and spirit. On the other higher side, its mission is to take the rays of light which come from above and translate them into terms of intelligent mentality, and to accept, examine, develop, intellectually utilize the intuitions that escape the barrier and descend into mind from the superconscious. It does this until man, becoming more and more intelligently conscient of himself and his environment and his being, becomes also aware that he cannot really know these things by his reason, but can only make a mental representation of them to his intelligence. Pausing here, near the top of page 851.